chapter 16, Matthew 16. You know, last week I got to preach at the church I came from before I was here in Priscilla. And it was a sweet time. I'll be honest, before, it was probably the hardest time I've ever had with formulating a message. A couple weeks before, after I told them I was going to do it, we were sitting in church in here one day, and I felt like the Lord had told me what he wanted me to preach about there, and so I wrote it down, and then all last week, I'm like, okay, but I don't even know what that means. And so I started working on it, and before I got up there on Sunday, I'm like, man, I do not feel great about this. And I'm like, Lord, will you just use it to reach one person? Like, would it just touch one person's heart? And after I got done preaching, I was like, I don't even really know if I said a sentence that made any sense at all. So that was a great spot to be. And my wife always just like, babe, you did so good. And not only did you do good, but you look good up there too. She didn't actually say that. But I know she was thinking it. So anyway, and so all day that day, I'm like, that was terrible. I don't think I ever want to preach again. I'm done. And so anyway, a guy had texted me that afternoon. He's like, man, I really felt like you had microphone in my house and the Lord was just speaking through you. The Holy Spirit really just challenged me in some things you said. And I was like, man, that's awesome. Made me feel a lot better. And then this morning I was praying just over this and our time together this morning. And I felt like the Lord brought that to mind. And he brought the verse of, hey, whatever you ask in my name will be done for you. And just this idea of, Lord, will you use this to reach just one person? I think there's a lot of honor in that prayer. But the truth is, the Lord just highlighted to me this morning. It's like, one? Like, you want it to change one person's life. I can do a lot more than that. And so just my prayer this morning for us is that the Lord would challenge all of us through this, that the Lord would grow us, that he would show us his love in a new way this morning through this message. And so I think for a lot of us, you know, we come in and not really having any expectations, but would the expectation for us this morning just be that the Lord would move? And I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what it looks like in your life, but I know the Spirit of God will move in a fresh way when we call on his name. And so, Lord, we ask you this morning to come in a new way, Lord. God, we pray that you would challenge us, Lord, that your word would, God, it would move us, it would grow us, and that it would change this area, Lord. God, that as we hear what you have to say, God, we would follow and we would listen, Lord, and we would understand just how much you love us. And so we're thankful for it. We pray that every person in this room, including myself, would be challenged and moved in a fresh way this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Matthew 16, verse 24. Man, I was really excited to preach this message when I figured out what I was going to say yesterday. It was big. In verse 24, we've got Jesus speaking here, and he's talking to his disciples. And I was reading this quote by a guy, and he was talking about, man, it would be a lot easier to follow Jesus had he never been resurrected, right? It would be a lot easier. Because if Jesus had never been resurrected, then I could just pick and choose what to follow, right? Like he would be in this box and I could just follow this one example, and he's always just the same, in the same spot, and he never is moving. He's never speaking any new things to us, right? That align with his word. And it's just like, man, if Jesus had never resurrected, he'd be a lot easier to follow. But he's in a more dangerous God now is what they call him at some points. And I thought that was funny because in my life, I knew that to be true, that there's a lot of times where I want to follow Jesus the way I want to follow him and not where he's at, because sometimes where he's at is more challenging for me and I actually have to listen. And so, guys, as we read this morning, I want us to think back on Easter, right? We all love to celebrate the resurrection that one Sunday out of the year. And there's this idea that we can celebrate the resurrection and live in resurrection power every single day, Like, that's what Christianity is about. That's what following Jesus is. It's living in resurrection power every single day. It's singing these songs that we sing of, you are the same God yesterday, today, and forever, right? You moved in power then. You can move in power now. I call you healer. I call you savior. Like, these things that we sing, they're coupled with resurrection power, and that's the gospel that we say we follow, but so often, for some reason, our lives don't match that resurrection power, right? Our lives don't match it, because the thing about resurrection power is it is not a one-time event, but it occurs every single day, and God moves in a fresh way. And so my prayer for us this morning is that we would leave here and we would be challenged to move in resurrection power day in and day out. And so in Matthew 16, verse 24, Jesus says to his disciples, he says, hey, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. And so Jesus says to his disciples, he says, hey, I really don't need much from you. I really just need your whole life. Like, I really just need you to die to yourself and just follow me. Like, that's all I want. Which is super comforting to the disciples as he's about to get ready to go to the cross. It's like, you just follow me there. And so that's what Jesus says to his disciples. I don't need much. I just need your whole life. And you take up your cross and you follow me. And so he says this to his disciples, and I think it's the same challenge for us, right? To take up our cross, to deny ourselves, and to follow him. And the truth about what we read there, as we look more into the gospel, what is the whole story of the gospel, right? You start from the garden. We are with God. I think I say this every time, and I'll probably continue to say it every time. We are with God in the garden. That is the picture of what God designed, was for us to be with God in perfect communion. And then there's separation. And then all throughout the Old Testament, we see God wanting to dwell and be in right standing with his people, and God's people saying, hey, that's a great idea, but we kind of want to do it this way, right? And it's just this whole journey of God's people separating themselves from God. And then Jesus comes and he sets the standard and he says, no, I'm going to dwell within my people. My temple is not going to be man-made, but it's going to be within you. And so God dwells within the believer, the Spirit of God, communion with God. That's what it's all about, right? And he says, hey, whoever wants to be my disciple must follow me. And so he asked for our life, but what did he give us? He gives us a revelation of how much he loves us. Right, that's what the gospel is about, is how much God loves us. He says he sent his only son. Why? So that we might not perish, but have everlasting life. Why did he do that? Because he loves us. Because he loves us. And so God does ask for you to follow him and to take up your cross, but he does so with a revelation of how much he loves you. Like, he says, this is how worthy I find you to be my son or daughter. This is how worthy I find you. Now come and follow me, because there's life there. And so that's the gospel that we're following, and that's the resurrection power we're stepping into. And so guys, my challenge for us, first of all, is as we follow Christ, and guys, following Christ is a daily journey, right? It's a daily journey. And so as we follow Christ, I want us to recenter ourselves. And I know I preached about this a few months ago, the first time I preached about the love of Christ. But I think it's essential to our journey of following Christ is, man, am I centering myself on how much God loves me? Because it changes everything. It changes everything when we understand how much God loves us. Again, Paul says, hey, you want to know the fullness of God? Understand how much he loves you. That's how you know and experience the fullness of God. And so he asked for our life, but with the revelation of how much he loves us. And so why does he do this? Because his love casts out fear and shame, right? It says in God's word that perfect love casts out fear and shame. And so he does us, he demonstrates his love through the cross and asks for our life with the revelation of, hey, this is how much I love you, and this is how worthy I find you to be. And so the life Jesus is asking you to follow is one of freedom, right? Like, that's what Paul says in Galatians. He says, hey, it's for freedom that Christ has set you free. Do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. And so often we set out this journey, we have an experience with Christ, and we set out to follow him, and then slowly but surely we begin to burden ourselves with the yoke of slavery, right? We begin to put things back on that he never called us to put on. We begin to carry weight that he never called us to carry. And Paul says, here's what you got to remember. He set you free so that you can stay free. Like, you don't need to go back into bondage because he set you free. And so that's the life he's calling you to follow, is a one of freedom. And so often, guys, I think we need to reframe our mind about how we view the life of Christ, because so often we think that the life of Christ are these rules that he's wanting you to follow because he's a dictator. He's asking you to follow his life because it's one that actually brings joy. It's one that actually brings the freedom that you're looking for in every other area of your life. And so that's why he says, hey, take up your cross and follow me. He wants us to experience resurrection power. Because why? Because he loves us. It's crazy, okay? It's crazy. And then we move on. Jesus, he says this, and I love it. He calls us to be his disciple, okay? And again, I don't know if I've shared this, but just to reframe how we look at the word disciple, most often we think about discipleship as you and I sit down in a taco shop and we go over this little booklet on discipleship, and that's just not what Jesus did with his disciples. He literally said, hey, by the way, come follow me. Let's go on this journey of life together, and they lived life, and that was discipleship, was being with a guy named John Mark Comer says, be with Jesus, be like Jesus, do what he did. Right? It's just being with Jesus. And so that's what discipleship is. And so God calls us to be his disciples, to be followers of his way. But he does so, and look at the life of Jesus. Jesus was perfect, right? We could all agree on that. Like, he was sinless. And so you look at, well, man, how do I follow that? You don't have to worry about in your own power following Jesus, because when he says, go be my disciple, he gives us the power to be his disciple. He gives us the power to follow him. And so it's not in our own power that we become like Jesus, but he says, I'm going to make you righteous through my blood. And so as you follow me, you are equipped with the power to do the things that I did, to say the things that I say, and to walk how I walk. And so it takes all the pressure off of, man, well, how do I do this? What did we talk about a couple weeks ago? Abide. Just stay with Christ. Like, that's the journey, is, man, I need to be with Christ because he has already equipped me with the power, and I want to follow him daily. That's what I'm doing. I'm following him daily, and he just constantly equips me with the power to do what he does and to say what he says and to be like him. But I'm not so ignorant to think that you just wake up one day and all of a sudden you start doing things like Christ did. Like, it's just easy, man. I just do it. Maybe that's what your journey has been. If so, I love that for you. But a lot for me has been the Lord challenged me with things of, hey, Mark, like, this is the life I'm offering you. Will you step into it? Because there's a part of us where he asks us to step in it. He asks us to walk with him in it. He's not walking for us. He says, come follow me. Like, come follow me. And so I think I'm very careful when I say this, but our effort in the kingdom is not one of striving, but it's still effort. Like, he still wants to co-labor with us because there's joy in that. Like, he wants to be with you in the garden. He's not just simply there and doing everything for you, but he asks you to come along with him because he knows that there's life in laboring with him. And it's not one of striving. And so that's the kingdom, is him equipping us with the power to be his disciple. We don't need to conjure up the power in ourselves, because you won't find it. Right. You just won't. And so what does Jesus give us the power to do? What did Jesus do? Did he say, hey, forgive those who persecute you? I think he did. It's in there somewhere. He says he trust the Father, right? He says, I only do what my Father does. So he gives us power to trust the Father in all he does. Jesus gives us power to seek the kingdom first. He says, seek first my kingdom, everything will be added unto you. And so he doesn't ask you to do something without, one, equipping you with the ability to do it through his Spirit. And so as you read God's word, think about, what's he calling me to? Lord, would you equip me and send your spirit so that I can walk in that? Like, that's the prayer. Equip me and send your spirit so I can walk in what you're calling me to do. And then think about Jesus all over the scripture. The dude was walking around healing people, right? He was doing all these crazy things, and we look at it, man, and say, well, you know, that was Jesus. And I'm like, anything the Lord wants to give you, ask for it, because it's not your job to take up for the Lord of, man, I prayed and it didn't happen. That the Lord's big enough. He can take care of that. And so whenever the Lord asks you to be like him, he's not just a suggestion. Like, it's a calling on our life. And so think about who Jesus was and follow that, and he'll take care of the rest. And so I want us to think about the kingdom that we live in. We live in a kingdom of resurrection. Like, that's what the kingdom is. It's a kingdom of resurrection power. Jesus raised from the dead. It's not just a cool story we think about. It's the truth of the gospel. Because without it, without the resurrection, what we're doing here is pointless. It's pointless. And so if we do not live and walk in resurrection power, then we're not following the kingdom that we say we are. And I don't know about you guys, but so often in my life, I do not walk in resurrection power, because my life would look a whole lot different. And I think our church would too. And everywhere. And so we get to start today and say, man, recenter ourselves around the truth of, how do I live in resurrection power? And Lord, would you equip me to do what you're calling me to do? Moving on, we look at what Jesus is calling us to when he says to be my disciple in John 15, verse 14. So a couple books over, 15, verse 14. It's in John. Jesus says here, he says, hey, you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Jesus calls us into friendship. He says, you are my friends when you do what I've commanded. I no longer look at you as servants, because servants do not know what their master is doing. He says, I've told you everything about my Father's business. Like, there's no hidden agenda in the kingdom. He says, here is what my Father's will is. Come and follow. I've called you friends. And so Jesus calls us into friendship. Friendship to Jesus is an offering of real relation. It's an offering of communication and proximity to Jesus. And so why is that important? Because when I think about resurrection power, when I think about walking in resurrection power and God equipping me to do the work of what he's called me to, so often in the kingdom, God has specific things he wants to call us to. And how do I know what God is calling me to? I've got to listen. And so God is in a friendship relationship with us. His voice is not far and hidden away, right? The veil has been torn. And so we look at God's voice, and we look at him as a friend. And so I get to communicate with the Lord. And it's not a hidden agenda of, man, what's the Lord trying to say? What's he trying to do? And is it X, Y, and Z? I spoke last week. I used to look at the kingdom really, really in a weird way. But I was not good at math. I don't know. You guys may be good at math. I was not very good. And so I first would be like, Lord, can you give me the right answer on this math test? I don't even know what listening to the voice, I didn't even know that was a thing back in the day. And so I'd say, here's what I'm going to do. Does anybody know the number of perfection in the Bible? Seven. Yeah. And so I would close my eyes, multiple choice questions, close my eyes, and I would take my pencil. This is a real story. Take my pencil, and I would just go like this, okay? It would be on A, B, or C, or close, okay? And I'd pick the closest one, and I'd count seven times from that one. And that would be my answer, okay? And so that, I only failed math once or twice. It was actually, any youth in the room, that's a great tactic. But that was my way of living in proximity to Jesus. I'm like, Lord, this is to honor you, okay? And so bless it in Jesus' name. Just a short little tidbit for you. But anyway, when we look at Jesus, he's calling us into this friendship relation. And he says, hey, I no longer call you servants because here's all my Father's business. It's all on the table. Like, we know what the kingdom's about. The kingdom is about living in right relation with the King. And he's given it to us. He's given the power to us to do that. And he says, hey, just come walk with me in it. Okay? And so we live in a real relation with the King. And so, guys, as we get ready to close out, I want to think about why we don't step into the power available to follow Jesus daily. Right? Why do we not take up all that God is offering us? Why do we not pray as though his word is true? Why do we not live as he's the same God as he was in the Old Testament and the New Testament? Why do we kind of switch gears and say, well, you know, things are different now? And so, one, shame from the enemy. I think the enemy uses our sins from yesterday to keep us from walking in the power God has for us today. He says, oh, you thought you were going to do this for the Lord. You thought the Lord was going to equip you with the power to do this. Don't you remember yesterday? Like, don't you remember what you did a couple weeks ago? And so he holds shame over us in order to make us inactive for the kingdom. Like, that's what he does, holding shame. And so that's why confession is so important. What is confessing? It's just telling the truth. It's saying, hey, this is who I am. This is what I've done. I've been made free. Why? Because Christ has set me free. And so I get to live in freedom and I get to walk in freedom. And you can't use my shame to make me inactive for the kingdom because it's already been covered. Okay? And so that's the truth of the gospel. And so we walk in that. I think unbelief, our thought is that God isn't that involved in our life, right? God's got a lot bigger things going on than what I've got going on. It says when in reality, I think the power of God is waiting to come alive in our life. It's waiting to come alive, but our unbelief is keeping it from happening. We're like, man, that's God's really not about that in my life. And so I want you to think about, where did God say he sent his spirit? Yeah, to dwell within us. Like, that's where the power is at. It's within us. He says, I'm not leaving you as orphans. I've sent my spirit to you. And then he says, crazy, you're going to do greater things than I did. Okay, wrap your mind around that. It's in his word. And so we look at it and we say, like, we look at our unbelief of, man, well, God really doesn't do that. And I want to challenge us to say, again, if that's true, then what are we doing here? Like, if it's true that God can't really do the same things he did back in the day now, then what are we doing here? And I think it's because we all know deep down inside that the resurrection power lives within us. We're just too afraid to let it come to life. Why? Because sometimes it can look uncomfortable. And so what is number three? I think number three would probably be there's no space in community. There's no space in community to see resurrection power come to life. I think about, we did a young adults Bible study at our house a few months ago, and really had a really simple mission of, hey, we want to hear from God, we want to do what he says, and we want to do that in community. And so we would open up these spaces just to hear God and to hear his voice and to hear what he had to say and what he wanted us to do. We would read God's word together, bring things out of God's word of, hey, I think this is what the Lord is challenging us with. What is the Lord saying to you about it? And oftentimes it would just be dormant. Like, people would just be looking at you like, oh, we're actually supposed to participate in this, right? It was foreign, this idea of, hey, you can listen to the voice of the Lord and then you can act on what he's calling you to. And so we want to create space and community to say, hey, this is what I think the Lord is calling me to. This is what I think the Lord is saying to me. And get this, he'll even say things about another person, right? We would make space of, hey, what is God saying anything to you for this person or that person? And you could just listen to the Lord. And guess what? Again, I don't need to take up for the Lord if I'm wrong, right? Like, it's clothed in humility of, hey, this is what I think the Lord is saying. And so we create space in community for that. And when there's not space, then we don't get to experience the power that comes from it. And guys, guess what? It all comes back to God wants to move in power to show you his love in a greater measure. That's what it's about. It's about showing his love and his glory through his power. That's all it's about. It's not about me. It's not about what I can do, because we all know what we bring to the table. He says, it's me through you, my spirit through you. And so moving on, guys, the last thing I'm going to say about why we do not walk in the power of God is we are living on yesterday's surrender. We are living on our surrender from yesterday. And this isn't to say, I'm not saying that you lose your salvation or anything like that, because this is, I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about resurrection power, because guys, you going to heaven and you walking in the power of God on earth is not the same thing. It's just not. And so God wants to let you experience life on earth, let you experience heaven on earth, let you experience his power on earth. But when you live in yesterday's surrender, when you live on when a couple months ago you experienced God and you started following him then, and you don't take up your cross daily, then there's going to be no power there, because it's a daily thing of, God, today I want to experience your power. Today I empty myself and say, Lord, come fill me. Today I want to be an advocate of your love. Not yesterday, not a few months ago, today. And so my challenge to us is to not live on yesterday's surrender, but to experience his power today. And so in closing, as we talk about walking in resurrection power, guys, I was weary. I didn't want to do an altar call. I don't know. I always feel weird about them. I don't know. I think they make me uncomfortable. But anyway, today as we close, I just want to ask a few things. One, are you living in yesterday's surrender? I think that's a really simple question. And if so, I'd ask you to just say, Lord, would you come and fill me today? Would I experience your power today? Two, God, in what area of my life am I living in a neutral state? Like, man, I think God can move. Like, I think he can move in power, but my life's pretty good as it is. I don't really need a whole lot different. And so I'm just going to kind of keep doing the same thing I've always been doing. Go to church. I'll pray. I'll even read my daily verse. But I don't really need a whole lot. And so if you're living in a state of a neutral position, I just ask that you'd ask the Lord, Lord, would you give me a hunger to see you move? Because I think that's the truth for a lot of us. You say, man, I don't really care to see it. That's a great spot to be. Ask the Lord to give you a hunger. And so as we close, and Jacob, if you want to come up or whoever's doing that, I think walking in resurrection power, again, it's not on me. It's not on you. Like, the Lord brings the increase. All I do is listen and obey. Like, that's my job, is to listen and obey, and he brings the increase. And it, what is the position that we're doing this for? Because he loves us, and his glory is going to be shown through that. And so, again, it's not on me. My position is, Lord, would you come and move in a fresh way? Give me a hunger. He says, when you seek, you will find. And so, guys, if you're in a position of, man, I've seen the Lord move. Like, I've seen him work in my life. Guess what? He's the same God. Same God. He wants to move in a new way. And so if you don't have anything, if your life is, man, I'm walking in resurrection power, great. Love that. But if not, I just ask you to surrender. And the altar is a great place to find a position of, Lord, I surrender to you. It's just this act of surrendering. And so let me pray for us. Lord, we thank you. God, I pray that we would move in resurrection power from this place. God, that it would not just be a sound bite, Lord, that we use of, yeah, we want to walk in resurrection power, but it would be a reality of Cedar Creek Church, that they listen to the voice of the Father, that they move when the Father says move, that they say what the Father says to say, they love how the Father would love. And Lord, we need your power to do that. Thank you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Thank you.